is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be troubled.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn.
We just talked to Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Q Bellet, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. So, staying with these Alabama-Tennessee numbers, is there a way, do you see a way that Tennessee can keep this game competitive? By any stretch of the imagination?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I want to be realistic about this. Because I could just say if Jalen Hurts breaks both his legs and Bo Scarborough runs a face mask into somebody's face.
Seriously, I want someone to seriously tell me if, how, when, what Tennessee can do to potentially keep this a two-score game heading into the fourth quarter.
My scenario...
And I'm going to say this right now before we talk about any of it. If it's Jarrett Garantano... 0.0% chance. I don't know what Mike saw. I didn't see anything from him that was more impressive than what Quinn Dormady does. I think Dormady throws a better deep ball. I think he gets the ball out a little bit better, has a better understanding of at least the route tree and throwing the football. But I expected this like super scrambler to come in because everyone kept telling me that, oh, they'll have so much more mobility and they'll implement zone reads and they'll bootleg and they'll move the pocket. He doesn't run much better than – and Dormady doesn't run well at all. Mm-hmm. Like you and I were making fun of the one play he comes in and keeps his own read. You definitely tricked me because I wasn't expecting that dude to run. But Garantano doesn't run much better at all. Maybe a little bit better, but you're not throwing Shea Patterson back there.
Yeah.
You know, this is not Michael Vick that you're tossing in. Or should I say Brent Schaefer?
I'll say this is – Brent Schaefer. This is the scenario I can play out in my head, and I started doing this last night. It's like, what's their secret formula for this? I'll start out with, don't laugh at me yet. I'll get to the ridiculous next. It's a rivalry game. If there's anything that's going to galvanize a team, it's the rivalry of Alabama, and it's the fact that no one legitimately is giving them anywhere near a shot. They weren't giving them a shot 2 years ago. Now, I understand Josh Dobbs is a different quarterback than what Jarrett Garantano is. I get it. Or Garantino, if you want to believe, you know, Todd Ellis of the South Carolina Radio Network. So I understand that it's a different quarterback. But we've seen teams come in that weren't expected to do well, have a good half based on just a hot quarterback, a hard-fought, hostile environment, which this will not be, and just some interesting quarterback play. The main scenario that's going to have to happen is Alabama's going to have to turn the ball over a couple of times. And they have to do it inside their own red zone. Now, I think where this could happen is we've seen it happen for a couple of weeks in a row. Some issues with the punt return game. We have seen a few fumbles in punt return that have been, I think one was turned over last week, and a couple other fumbles. And that is something that if Alabama doesn't get shored up, could present a bit of an opportunity for Tennessee to stay competitive in this game. Now, if Alabama somehow gets a little too cute offensively or a little too fancy, and they want to try to send Jalen Hurts on this wild goose chase to try to figure out his intermediate and deep passing game even further in this one game, I don't think that's going to be successful and it'll be a chance to keep Tennessee in this game even longer. But what I've seen from Brian Daboll so far, the offensive coordinator for the Tide, is he's not that guy. He wants Jalen Hurts to be able to show that he's got the intermediate arm, and he wants to be able to exercise that. But he is not the guy that has been calling a play to keep other teams in the game to show how good he is as an offensive coordinator. He's been calling a lot of plays that suit the power of his running backs, the speed of the receivers to get to the outside, the speed of the tailbacks to be able to get to the outside. He has been calling quietly one of the best seasons Alabama has had in a while, as far as just, I think, the way the offense is run and the way people are happy with the offense. Because I don't see a lot of people complaining like they did, even though Alabama was crushing teams last year. I don't see a lot of people complaining about this offense in 2017. This seemed to be like a well-worn glove fit for Brian Daboll and this offensive line and this offensive unit for Alabama.
Let me just tell you, after studying this offense last night, they have taken some of the creativity in the run game that I saw last year, and they're building on that and adding to that. You go back and look at one perfect example would be, and I'm gonna try to verbalize something that would much more easily be visualized. When you run zone read, everyone has seen it. The quarterback takes a snap. He holds the ball out. The running back comes in front. He can either keep that ball or take that ball. This is just one small detail. So instead of turning that backside defensive end free, they're blocking man with the backside tackle. And the quarterback's read then becomes an interior defensive lineman or in a three-man front, one of the linebackers, depending on how he plays it. But just doing that two or three times a game can completely throw off a defense. What then becomes your key? How do you, because if the backside tackle's blocking out and blocking man, you play that like it's zoned to that side. So you have to keep outside leverage and keep your head on the outside of that tackle, which is taking you out of the play if Jalen Hurts keeps the ball. Now, this invert quarterback counter read that I posted last night, where you're pulling both the backside guard and tackle, and it is a read, and I know that I'm 100% confident it's a read. I'm getting people on Twitter telling me there's no way it's a read, it can't be a read, and I'm wrong, but I know I'm right, and I just know I'm right. It's not an opinion. It's 100% fact that I'm right. And if you can figure that out on your own, you're smart. If you can't, you're dumb. And so you're showing counter to the right, but the back is offset to the right. So the read would be for Hurts to keep it and then run quarterback counter or hand it off to Scarborough, and he busts it off to the left for 40 yards. And he ends up fumbling on that play, but it's a huge gain. Those are the things. You go back to the split zone read that they ran last year, the crunch play that they ran last year, where basically they're running inside zone with both portions of the offensive line towards each other. So instead of everyone running zone to the right, the left side of the line runs zone right, the right side of the line runs zone left. It's called crunch. You're basically crunching everyone towards the center. So it essentially becomes a power play, but I mean, you think about a defense, how do you read that? How do you differentiate between that and if you're just running the stretch play to the right? Those are the kind of things, and what it does, it forces defenses to play this team straight up. You cannot play high risk. You cannot guess. You can't jump plays. You can't stunt. Because if you do, the chances of you not just getting beat, but getting beat bad for a big play increase exponentially. And that's why I think you've seen Harris have some of these bigger runs, is they're throwing in some of these little things that are forcing defenses to play them straight up. And teams don't think they can play them straight up going into the game anyway, regardless of scheme, just based on personnel. Then you throw in better players, and it's a recipe for disaster for a lot of teams.
41-9, 59-0,
66-3. I will say this. I had felt pretty good about Daboll before last night. Going back and studying three games last night, the last three, I am thoroughly impressed with Brian Daboll. Now, do I think that the Alabama passing attack is great? No. Do I think Jalen Hurts can go out and beat somebody if he has to throw the ball 45 times in a game? Probably not. But the reality is they don't have to do that. You know, we talked about Jake Fromm, and has Jake Fromm had to go out and beat anybody? You know, Kirby and those guys told us this weekend when we were there. He's like, hey, we realize we're going to have to throw the ball at some point. We realize sometime down the road we're going to get to 28, 32, 35 throws that we're going to have to win a game. But like Jim Chaney told me, we're not going to get away from who we are and what we do just to prove we can throw it. That's dumb. That's dumb to go into a game and say, hey, we're really good at running the ball. Our offensive line's run blocking really well. We got four or five elite backs. Let's pitch it around. That's stupid. That's how you get beat. That's how you get upset. That's what teams do to find ways to lose games. Johnny on a cell wants to chime in. Good morning, Johnny.
Hey, good morning. I agree that this has been the probably the most productive offense in a forever time at Alabama, and I'm really excited. But the thing that's been going on in this dominance that sometimes gets overlooked, to me, is the amount of playing time that the twos are getting and how much better we're going to be in the future because of this year that we're having, because these guys are, I mean, they're lining up not in garbage time beginning at the beginning of the second half, and they're getting extensive time, and I'm just excited to see, I mean, these young freshmen that are coming in, I don't know, we probably played 17 or 18 freshmen now, and everyone that gets on the field, they're talented, they seem to be, you know, after the one game where they took them out because they didn't execute at the level that's expected, they've come in, you know, with a purpose, and it's to me the future of the program. You're getting to see it early, and you know, I don't see the foot coming off the gas anytime soon on the dynasty. And Tennessee is in for, you know, to me a world of hurt. And you know, if we can hang 66-3 on Tennessee, better believe we're going to do it.
Oh, great call. Thanks, Johnny.
Okay. I'll be quick about this.
I don't think, just me personally, I don't believe Nick Saban thinks that way. Now, if Butch Jones had made accusations on Nick Saban and his program and how he runs it, something similar to that, yeah, I could see it then. But I don't think he's going out saying, we got to get 60.
I'll just be quick about this. Why do we got to look at 2018 already? Why do we got to talk about the future of this program? You're going to win a national championship this year.
Do you want to know why?
Let's speak. Don't you say it. Because
the guys he's talking about are max quantified in testing. They are max, what was the word that the guy used?
Max level testing.
Max level testing, Arky, and their rating is high.
I get it. A lot of teams get to play number twos, and Alabama gets to play more twos than normal. And I think the number is 17 true freshmen that have had a chance to play. That's cool. This team's pretty good right now.
Yeah, but 18, man.
They were good last year.
Yeah, but 18.
What are they going to do next year? Win the Super Bowl?
18. Max level testing. Let's get the 10 after tweets.
Bring me the tweets!
You can't butt Bama national championship season. Don't do that.
When you max level test, you can. In every area possible.
Please don't.
I think you can.
It's okay to be looking at the team and thinking, man, we're going to be good for a while.
Look. By the way, how did that just start this year?
We're only halfway through this season.
Why is this year the year that has become a reality for some folks?
Paul on Malaysia's tweets, Tennessee has to hope Diggs and Ruggs have butterfingers on returns, and the UT is at least +5 on turnovers. Yeah, Stephon Diggs and Henry Ruggs keep dropping the ball on punt returns.
That's asking a lot. +5.
At least +5.
Minimum.
That's your starting point. A lot of people are reacting to the cold question of the day, presented by Dreamland BBQ. Have you revealed it yet?
Yeah, it's out. It's out.
Is Mambo Number 5 a good song? So far, 99% say yes.
That's actually 84% say no. I'm looking at it right now.
I got to get my eyes checked. Todd Bird says, one-hit wonder, enough said. Does a one-hit wonder could be a good song for the record.
Sure, that has no...
Like, Who Let the Dogs Out was a great song. You just got it.
Stop it.
Great musical melody. Low-key 850.
I'm sorry?
Low-key 850 tweets, straight butt juice, Cole.
I read that a different way at first, and that's why it was funny, because I think you read it the way it was intended to be read.
Earl M-A-U-B tweets, this is a troll tweet, isn't it?
What does that mean?
The Mambo Number 5 question? These are all responses to the question.
I want to know if anyone thinks it's a good song. And apparently 16% of the voters do.
Dan Strickland.
Which seems way high, by the way.
Dan Strickland tweets, at BamaDan3 tweets, a gif of Simon Cowell saying, it's a no from me.
As well here.
Chris Crow says, in all caps, hell to the no. Ah!
What?
Nothing takes the legs right out from under a tweet when you scream it whenever you let me do it. B-Ranch tweet, what's next at Arcushade? When I dip, you dip? Hey, if Cole brings it up. Oh, it's all Cole's fault. Cole brought up the song.
Yeah, but the song's terrible, and you know it.
Bama B-Rich tweets, sounds like Cole just insinuated it's time for a change down on the plains. Hashtag handcuffs.
Don't take my words out of context and try to twist them into something that they're not.
That's why I said he insinuated it, not said it directly.
You guys have no idea what my hidden agendas are here on the show.
Mm, they're not very well hidden. Mm-hmm. Cole wants to be part of this Heath Evans staff. Dan Strickland tweets, Mambo Number 5 obviously pulled from that Lou Bega's Greatest Hits album, right?
Yes. One of one.
Lee Hunt.
I think there's probably an instrumental and a remix, so one of three.
Lee Hunt tweets, don't tempt me to change the station, hashtag Mambo Number Mambo 5. Lee, there's nowhere good to go. You'll be right back here in like literally 20 seconds. BamaDan3 tweets, if there's any justice in the world, Jordan Rogers, will do a bit on Mambo Number 5 with Cole Kublik.
And I'll cut his hair if he does.
Oh, man. I would watch both of those, by the way.
That'll happen.
You guys should have like a hair match or something. There should be some stipulations with you guys about throwing the football the next place you go. Like, you're going to Arkansas this week, right?
Yep.
There should be some stipulations. Like, you have to grow hair if he wins, and he has to cut his if he loses.
I like it. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Alabama A&M head football coach James Spady next. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Listen online on sports.com. You can also get the app. Search WUMP in your app store, iPhone or Android. And don't forget about our friends at Valley Equipment Rental. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com. Call 256-964-6081 today for tillers, pressure washers, stump grinders, and more. Any project that you have around the house or your construction site, Valley Equipment Rental can help. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com or call Ross and Tanner and the guys today, 256-964-6081. James Spady joins us now, Alabama A&M head football coach. Coming off a nice win, 49-14 over Mississippi Valley State. Coach, what does it do for you to take a win into the bye week?
Well, good morning, Q.
How are you?
Great to I'm hanging in there because, you know, anytime you get a chance to win a football game, it's going to be a positive thing. So, excited about that.
Visiting with James Spady, Alabama A&M head football coach. Now 3-1 in conference as well. What's the message to your team as far as what your record is in conference play heading into the off week?
Well, you know what? We try not to talk about the standings and where we're headed and that kind of thing. Literally, our team has been let's just be 1-0 this week. And we're pretty assured of that this week because we're going to play a team we've never lost to. We're going to play Idol. And we're undefeated against Idol. So we'll be 1-0 this week.
Well, and that's a good thing. It's a great place to be.
And we'll take your foot off the gas. A little expectations there. Being a little cocky, Coach.
Absolutely. How healthy are you heading into this off week? How bad do you guys need it?
Oh, we need it so bad. It's ridiculous. Well, you know how it is. This time of year, you're past halfway. Everybody's got a bump or a bruise. And you know, you just need time to kind of let those things kind of heal up. But also just to take a breath of fresh air, just try to get away from it a little bit, kind of recharge your batteries and see if you can, you know, get yourself in position for a stretch run. I mean, you know, everybody likes to look at the standings. What it is every game becomes more important than the last one. And so we got to be able to take a fresh approach into just being 1-0, like I said. So couldn't come at a better time.
Coach, I want to ask you about your man Damian May scoring 4 touchdowns last weekend. A bit of a spark coming off the last few weeks for you guys. It's really sort of turned this offense into, I don't say a machine, but it's turned it into a very effective group.
Well, anytime you have to account for an extra, you know, guy in the offense, so our quarterback is a threat to run the football. When you have to account for that guy, then it does something to your secondary or it does something to your structure. And so that's what he was able to give to us. Damian can do some things with his feet and with his legs. And what that did was it maybe put a little juice in the offense, and that's a good thing.
And you look at now the Alabama Classic, 2 weeks, or the Magic City Classic, excuse me, 2 weeks away. You have an entire off week to add extra preparation. But how does that benefit you with the mental and emotional preparation that goes along with this game? We've talked to you about this before, how I've mentioned with the Iron Bowl, people always ask, what's so much different? And it's just that you have more family to worry about, more friends to worry about, more interview requests to worry about. There's just so much more going on that the week goes incredibly fast. How much does having the extra week benefit you? Not so much from an X's and O's perspective, but just with the add-ons that come with this game.
It's crucial. I don't know who came up with the schedule, but years ago somebody decided, well, we better have an open week prior to this game. And thank God they did, because I can't imagine the stuff that I have to do in preparation for this game, because it's a big deal. And I can't imagine only having – you know, 3 or 4 days to focus on the opponent, to focus on all the stuff that happens off the field as well, and still be, you know, diligent in your preparation. I just can't imagine doing that without this open week. And then there's another aspect, too, and you kind of touched on it, Cole. When you have more time, you wind up tricking yourself. And so we have to be very conscious of making sure that we are getting our team ready to be fundamentally sound. We got to go back to our base and not chase goats. When you have more time on your hands, you think of stuff that you can do or stuff that they may do against you. And we've got to make sure we navigate this open week properly.
Coach, how will you handle this off week? I mean, and I know we've been trying to get Jordan Bentley, among others, sort of healthy and close to 100% and ready to go. I know he, you know, carried the ball 10 times over the weekend. How will you handle this off week though for you guys?
Well, we front loaded our off week. I don't like to call it an off week. It's not an off week. I mean, we're not off at all. But the open week, we front loaded it because we want to be able to back off of them over the weekend. Like I said, let them get back, get back to their with the way they were before whatever injuries and hurts and aches and pains took place. So we front-loaded the practice segments, and then we'll let them rest this next week. And then when we start up next Sunday, then we're in our regular game week preparation. So that's the way we're going to do it. And hopefully getting them off their feet and getting them away from football will give them some more juice, hopefully rejuvenate their legs, and we come back ready to roll.
And we'll talk a little bit more specifically about this next week, but the environment and not only for the Magic City Classic is amazing down in Birmingham. And not only the environment, but you're actually going to be playing a team that's actually coming off its first win of the season, so they've got a little momentum and juice going into them too. And this is a game that you guys won't be overlooking, is it?
No, and neither will they. And it doesn't matter who's good, who's bad, who's up, who's down, who's got the better record. It won't make any difference. This is the absolute Super Bowl. And so we'll go into it with that mindset. We're not going to overlook anybody. Nobody's going to overlook us. It's going to be a great competition.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the, I don't know, what did you reference it? The, not the, the off
open
week.
Week.
The open week. The open week. Enjoy the open week, and we look forward to previewing the Magic City Classic with you next week.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. You know, I always enjoy our talks.
Yes, sir. That's James Spady, Alabama A&M head football coach. It is kind of intriguing to wonder why coaches haven't come up with another name for that to sort of, like, not the off week. And we always say that bye week is for the NFL. Like, we try not to say bye week.
I like open
here.
Week. He called it idle at the very beginning of the of
open
the
week feels like an overseas golf tournament, sort of. Like, it's sure. The open week. It's
idle
the
seems
Open's
like what
happening.
A diesel truck does.
I'm surprised that some, like, Dabo hasn't come up with, like, a no-game week or, you know, no-work Saturday or, you know, two-week work week. So just something to not let the guys feel like, oh, we're not doing anything this week. So,
how did you guys treat off weeks in general?
They're more difficult than you think they are. Usually
rest,
you get Sunday, Monday off, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are usually pretty physical practices, at least two of those. At least Tuesday, Wednesday would be pretty physical, and depending on how the season's going, Thursday might be lighter. Friday, usually come over in the morning, get some kind of a workout in, and then you're done, and you report back on Sunday. So it gives kids a chance to go home. God, Tuberville's first year, we scrimmaged. Mm. We went full bore, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We had segments of practice that were full speed. And that's when we allegedly found Don Timmons at tailback going into the Arkansas game, who was the 5'9", 168-pound walk-on tailback that was, according to Hugh Nall, the solution to all of our problems, the guy who was going to solve all of our problems. I was like, I can go ahead and tell you right now that ain't solving our problems. And thankfully for us, we get into the fourth quarter of that game, and double duty Davenport had just worked us over. Had like six catches for 180 yards. It wasn't that many, but it felt like it. The guy was like 6'6". He played basketball too, and they lobbed it to him, and we didn't stop him. And we get into the fourth quarter, and it's out of reach, so they put Heath in the game. And intriguing that Heath is sort of in the news, and it's Auburn, Arkansas week. But they throw Heath in at tailback, kind of as garbage time. And what do you know? Inside zone, outside zone. Heath kind of has a little feel for push the line of scrimmage, press the line of scrimmage, make one cut, get north and south. It works. And so he ends up being our back the rest of the season and helped us have some success. We did some good things with him. And
do you guys feel that way, though? Like, I know, Hugh Nall was a big fan of Don Timmons, as you just mentioned. But
it was embarrassing. No, none of us had any confidence in that. I can vividly remember us sitting around thinking, what the hell are we doing?
But I mean with Heath.
Oh yeah, no, because we knew Heath was going to at least finish forward, and Heath was going to at least, and Heath wasn't going to bust off 40, 50, 80 yard runs, but he was going to get 4, 5, 6, 8 yard runs, and we would have rather had that than a guy who's going to give you one long run and three rushes for losses. So no, we knew he was a physical back, and that's what we wanted because that's what we were trying to be.
Let me ask you this. I'm going back, and last night I was listening to the ump as the Titans were beating the Colts, and Derrick Henry's long touchdown run. And I had it synced up with the TV well enough on Monday Night Football to check it out. And on the old television, they show Taylor Lewan for the Titans just jumping up and down, super excited about Derrick Henry's last touchdown run. Is that the best feeling as an offensive lineman, is making a hole or seeing your running back go for a huge run for a touchdown? Like, what was the best feeling for you? Cockroaching somebody, pancaking them, I guess.
Yeah,
other
when you
it?
Get, I mean, when you get legitimate movement at the line of scrimmage, I mean, that's your equivalent of hitting you know, a 300-yard drive or hitting a 400-foot home run. I mean, that's that deal.
But you for know. You individually, like, was it seeing a guy come, like, cut right behind you or come just alongside you and then bust it for, like, 70 and a touchdown?
I had this one play against Louisiana Tech that I'll never forget. And we ran inside zone to the left. Rudy Johnson was there. So it was my senior year. And we scooped the nose. The nose kind of played backside. So the guard came and overtook the nose. And I work up to the linebacker, and he just wasn't there. So he, for some reason, either blitzed or played backside. So my instincts immediately told me, well, go ahead and go up to the third level. Don't just stand there and wait. So I go up to the safety, and I heard the crowd begin to sort of roar. So I'm like, well, he just busted that ball loose. And I'm kind of inching up on the safety, but I'm working front side on the safety, so he has to work towards me to make the tackle. Mm. And I can tell he's looking at somebody trying to make the tackle. And I immediately just went low on him, and I cut him. And as I cut him, I look to my left, and I see Rudy just kind of blow right past me to the left. And I was like, that was pretty legit. Like, that was a really good feeling. Because when are you ever going to be up on a safety and it's going to impact the run? Yeah. It's not going. That doesn't happen very often. So, yeah, and I remember one of my friends that I went to high school with after the game, he was like, man, that block on that safety was incredible. And I'm like, you're probably the only person in the stands that saw that. Like, nobody else knew what happened on that play. So they just saw a long run and figured Rudy's really good.
I'm going to see if I can find that during the break.
Yeah, it's out there somewhere. So back with more Cube Show right after this.
Let's talk narrative.
I tried to find the 2000 video of you guys playing Louisiana Tech with old Rudy to get that block, but no, could not find that. But I did find your boy Noel Mazzoni wearing some of the coolest Auburn gear.
Yeah, that was legit.
And some coaches clinic.
That was a bowl jacket we got, I think.
Was it? Because
they probably
was
had some left around and just gave it to him. But I remember that jacket. We got those before he got there.
It was less than cool. I thought about playing it because he was talking about slide protection and, you know, and seven man protection and six man protection. Not suitable for work. It's not safe. A lot of
Mazzoni's great, man. I love that.
Do you
guy.
Like dirty words? Because he seems like he used a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean he's not offensive with them, or he's not.
No, he doesn't just direct
them.
Him in.
Yeah, he doesn't direct them at his players, but he definitely gets some in every now and then.
He does not like defensive people.
Mazzoni is one of the coolest coaches that you can play for. Like, I mean, I talked to Trevor Knight about him. He loved playing for him. Obviously, I played for him, and Ben loved playing for him. The only guy that I've heard that got sideways with Noel Mazzoni was Josh Rosen, and he's gotten sideways with like four offensive coordinators, and he's only been there like 2 years. So I don't put that on Mazzoni. So Brett Hundley loved playing for him. Osweiler liked playing for him at Arizona State. I mean, everybody likes Noel Mazzoni. He's a cool dude. He's a good dude. So it's good to see him doing good things at A&M and sort of getting that thing turned around. The weird thing is, you mentioned slide protection. And it's odd to me how many teams are becoming reliant on that as their primary form of pass protection. Arkansas is a team that comes to mind watching that game. Now, granted, it's against Alabama last night, but you're not supposed to get beat up the middle in slide protection consistently in the same game. And they did against Alabama over and over again. Now, Jeremy Pruitt dialed up some really, really nice blitz packages, and he really did some things inside, moving linebackers around and gaming and stunting linebackers. But
explain what slide protection is for some of those who don't know.
When you see an offensive line all take one step to the left or one step to the right, it's basically gap protection or slide protection. So what will happen is, and a lot of times, you know, Auburn fans get mad about this when they see a back on a defensive end. So if you have pressure, looks like it's coming from the right side of your line, what you'll do is you'll slide it right, and the end man on the line of scrimmage is turned loose, very similar to sort of your zone read principles, and that is the back's responsibility. So the back has the end man on the line of scrimmage and then everything else outside of him. So if he drops, then your eyes go out, which is primarily the rules in all hot protection, blitz pickup, anything. I mean, if you're on the end, if you're the tackle, your hand and feet can always go in, but your eyes always stay out because you got to pick up. You're responsible for everything else outside. If a back goes to the edge of the protection, so usually if the back doesn't see anyone, but he's hot that side, he'll go hip to hip with the tackle, and then everything left, if that's the direction he's going, is his responsibility. If there's no back over there and the tackle's covered up and you're hot left, the quarterback knows that's on him. There's nobody else out there. Or the center can have principle. Like, we had a pop principle where the center, like if I had a my linebacker walked up and there was possible pressure from the left, I would make a pop call. You always take the nearest threat. And that's what slide protection is sort of supposed to help. So I would take that Mike linebacker if he blitz up the one of the A gaps, he was mine. But if he dropped, then I had responsibility everything left. So if anything came, that was on me. Slide protection is supposed to basically just build a wall. I mean, you're hip to hip, shoulder to shoulder with each other, and you just go gap protect right, slide protect right. Manny Diaz has some really creative stuff he calls slide buster. So what he'll do is, he'll line up a guy in the B gap, and then he'll blitz a linebacker in that same gap. So when you slide and that guard slides to that B gap and takes the D tackle, well, guess what? The linebacker's coming right next to him, and the center next to him just slid over. So it's very tough to pick up. You have to be disciplined. And what I see a lot of times are guys are so anxious to slide and get outside instead of anchoring inside first. You're getting a lot of pressure off of it. Auburn's given up pressure on it. They haven't had a ton of success with it this year. Alabama at times has given up some pressure on it. Arkansas gave up a lot of pressure on it. And it's supposed to be something that is supposed to be indefensible. Now, some of that's on the quarterback. You go slide protection, gap protection, also known as quick protection. You got to get the ball out. I mean, when we went slide protection, Ben was throwing a fade. We knew it. I mean, it was two-step drop, boom, fade was up. And we're hoping for a pass interference or a receiver to make a play or just beat the corner. I mean, more things can go your way than not right there. Of course, you could end up with an interception, but usually you'll take that against a blitz if at a certain point in the game because it's essentially a punt, depending on down and distance. So it's just weird to me to see these teams and what it is a lot of coaches are scared that their guys can't handle themselves in one-on-ones and that the defensive linemen are better than their offensive linemen. And I always tell you, in any game, it comes down to winning your one-on-ones. And if you got dudes that can win one-on-ones, you're going to win games. That goes for receiver. That goes for corner. That goes for D-end, D-tackle, center guard, tackle, running back. If you win one-on-ones, and you can win more than your opponent, you're going to win games. It's reality. So it's just odd to me to see, since we heard Mazzoni talking about that, and A&M does a lot of it too. And now you'll get half slide protection where the center, right guard, right tackle will slide right, and the left guard and left tackle will stay man. So people are trying to get smarter with it to where they segment it off to where, okay, we want to be really safe right here, but we want to try to be manned up over here to the left because we're confident in those two guys, or we're not as confident that those two defenders can cause that much of a problem. So it's not supposed to be something that really ever gets beat, because the combination of forming that wall and what it takes to get through it and penetrate that with getting the ball out quickly, which you should be able to do because you slide protect for pressure and a blitz. So if somebody's bringing seven, somebody's got to be open if six are blocking. I mean, And that's not saying somebody's not covered, but you should have a route for that. I mean, any man concept, you should have it's like Ben said on the show a few weeks ago. There are man beaters across the board, slot, outside, whatever. Some might be higher percentage than others. Some might be low percentage, but you got to run man beaters into pressure, something Auburn didn't do against Clemson. So I'm not saying it should always work, because you still have to execute, and executing is going out and winning games, but there should always be a situation that presents itself to give you the opportunity for it to work in those situations. And I was blown away with how bad Arkansas was with it against Alabama. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt did a really nice job of getting those offensive linemen on different levels, and they were not able to twitch off games and blitzes, and thus just an endless amount of pressure in that game. It was embarrassing.
Man Beater was the better Hall & Oates song.
It's Man Eater.
Man beater.
And the Nelly Furtado redo is better. You can come back to that if you want. That's actually a decent track.
Man beater is also a great video you can get on demand on Showtime as well. It's more of a solo project, but you know, it works. In a pinch. In a pinch, you can get what you need to get done. That's a fact. It's on the internet, man. You can get to it. How about that dissertation? Where else are you getting a dissertation on slide protection on radio? Anywhere.
Tonight at the Huntsville Quarterback Club.
Much less local. Yeah, go to that. What's that cost me?
I don't know. You want to be perfectly honest with you? I don't even know where it is right now. I need to figure that out. If you know, tweet me. Where am I speaking tonight?
Where am I supposed to be?
My fall is so unorganized. I mean, it's just like, just tell me where to go and I'll be there.